Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Mahidvishavahai. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So, next one. Weren't you supposed to sit here, the ladies? Or it's okay. You can hear? Text one. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to have disciples all over the world. So, by now, I hope we all understand that the importance of the control of the senses and the mind. We have been talking about this the last time and the previous time also. So without sense control, it is not possible to attain anything significant in the material world or in the spiritual world, or even if you just want to be a regular, decent citizen. Also, you have to have some system of sense control. There is a famous psychiatrist who wrote a book, very famous book, and then he explains there the different aspects of discipline. What is to be disciplined? And then the first thing he says is what he calls the to delay gratification. That means, if you explain it very simply, that means first you do your job, all the things that are not very pleasing for the senses and the mind, but you embrace this. In other words, you embrace the tapasya, like if you go on Sankirtan, often it's tapasya. But anyway, you embrace this austerity, and then when you are done with your job, then only you can have some, this is a material book, so then you can have a recreation, doing things for pleasure. Going back to the temple, taking prasadam with the devotees, having some prajalpa, like this. Well, prajalpa is not recommended, of course. But this is the principle. First, you have to do the job. And this is the only way you can be a decent person in this, even in the material world. There is somebody there. So even if you're not very ambitious, spiritually or materially, still, if you want to function in a society, there should be a system of self-control. And what happens if this system is not there? If we don't, let's say, delay gratification? Then there is a word, sociopath. That means a person who cannot function inside the group of people. He cannot function in the society. Because society means a set of rules everybody should follow so that his behavior becomes very predictable. Everybody knows what to expect from him. And If we just follow the urges of the senses, then we are also very predictable in our behavior, just that we are not, we cannot be trusted. We are not trustworthy. That means we are functioning on the lowest level of, these three rasas we have been talking, the the Prativarasa, when the senses meet the sense objects, this is the lowest level of happiness. Then the Svargirasa, when there is interaction between people, following duty. So this is deriving happiness from the lowest platform of just senses meeting the sense objects. And then if someone is very attached to this level of happiness, then as soon as he gets these urges that Rupa Goswami is talking here, then he is gone. And he won't perform his duty. And it's embarrassing. He cannot function in the society. Material society or spiritual. So why we are talking so much about these things? Why it is so important? Because not so much because we have to follow. Of course, we have to follow the four regulative principles, and this is a must. It's not a matter of discussion. But why it is so important? Not so much because we break a rule. We have been breaking this rule since time immemorial. We in the material world since a long time. And if you're going to break it one more time, or two times more, or 10 times more, it's not so important actually to Krishna. Because we have been doing this a long time. Kind of, yeah. But the important thing is to earn this trust. Because the citizens of the spiritual world, they have to have faith in us. In other words, there is serious things are going on there. There are Ashtakali Lilas, all these pastimes of Krishna, and in order to everything to happen, you have to rely on people. Otherwise, the pastimes cannot happen. That means we have to be reliable. And if you follow this, if you follow all these rules that we promised, we gave a vow, if we follow this throughout our lives, that means we are trustworthy. And they can trust us. If we don't, that means we have to stay here. Because we won't be admitted in the spiritual world. Nobody will trust us. Because we will be carried away by our senses. Is that clear? Yes.
What was the different kinds of happiness?
The first is called Partiva Rasa. The senses mean the sense objects. And there is a sense of pleasure and happiness, but as soon as the senses are disentangled to the sense objects, this feeling is gone. And yes? You didn't hear something? Svargiya. Yeah.
You said there's three or two?
Yes, three. And then the third one is Vaikuntha Rasa. The rasa in the spiritual between the liberated devotees and the Lord. Yes.
So senses meet sense objects, that's the first one, then relationships between people?
Yes, defined by Varnashrama, by following duties according to the social system of Krishna, not just...
So it's like higher taste.
Yeah, it's gradation. Okay. Because if we follow the particular set of duty, then only then we can have a real relationship with people. Because real relationship is based on sacrifice for others. And these sacrifices are defined in the Varnashram. Mataji, you wanted to say something?
I just think that point is just so far out. Because we always think, about if someone breaks the principles, if it's bad, it's wrong, and...
Moralistic.
Krishna said a few more times, that's not the difficulty. The difficulty is in the spiritual world. You need to be focused on Krishna, and then it just hit me. It was just amazing. That's an amazing point. We're so conditioned to just think it's bad, it's yucky,
We take it from this moralistic point of view, eternal condemnation of the soul, you do something wrong and then Krishna hates you. Yeah, but because this is our conditioned upbringing, for most of us, we come from a culture where if you do something wrong, then God is such a kind of monster that he will torture you for eternity without a concept of correcting you, actually.
So he's actually
a sociopath. The argument of Anselm, this medieval philosopher, he gives an argument why God exists, and basically the argument is God is such a being that you cannot conceive for a greater being than himself. And if this is true, I think we can easily conceive of a little bit more balanced and healthy being than this kind of idea of God, who is just like a basically like a monster. What you think of someone who, of a parent, the kid does something wrong, and then the parent brings the kid back home, lock him, and for the rest of his life is torturing the kid without the desire to correct the kid, actually. No, this is not at all the goal of the exercise. It just, but this is the idea of God that people have nowadays. One lifetime, and if you don't get it, then that's it. God will torture you till the end of the for eternity. Yeah, we're conditioned by this and like this. Yes?
So the sensual ras will be anamoy and pranamoy, and the emotional will be manamoy?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And the vaikuntha will be jnana and jnana.
Basically, yeah, but still it is based on the anamoya, because anamoya and pranamoya, they go together because the principle is the same. Anamoya and pranamoya are just one thing, basically. One is, Prabhupada is defining it as like egoism and extended, no, sense gratification and extended sense gratification.
In relating though, this emotional happiness where you have it's not just based on the sense objects and the senses meeting.
Yeah, there is this element, but basically it is based on egoism. You want to experience these emotions, but this is you in the center of all these things. And if you go one stage up to the level of manamoya or svargiya rasa, then the important thing is following duty, and then on the basis of duty, then you get all these emotions, even better quality, the real emotions of human relationships.
So the extended sense gratification in pranamoya isn't necessarily according to duty, you know?
No, it is not. It's just according to the prominent line of thought that is prominent in society exactly at that time. That's why you can see it changes again and again all the time. Now, before was one set of rules, now it's different. But the manamoya, the Vedic system doesn't change. The details may change, but the principles...
Would Ganamoy be part of Swargiya Ras or Vaikuntha?
Ganamoy means you realize that you're not the body, liberated platform. So it depends where you're going. If you continue, like in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Samak Sarveshu Bhutishu Mad Bhakti Mulavate Param, then it goes to the Vaikuntha Rasa. You understand?
For us, is Vijnanamoy considered the stage of Bhava or Anatami?
Vijnanamoy stage of Bhava, I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe. Because it's on a liberated platform, so. Yes, Matej.
This Vaikuntha Rasa, there are only three lists. So this Vaikuntha Rasa includes all spiritual, including
all Vaikuntha, Goloka, the spiritual world.
Okay.
Yes, true.
So can you say that in the same way as pranamoy touches both on manamoy and anamoy, then vijnanamoy touches both on pranamoy and
anamoy is a separate category, it's a third category.
Yeah, but I mean like in the sense that if you're having the goal, you know, to get, you know, to connect yourself to Krishna, then actually touches on that, and if you have the goal, just, you know, it's like the emotional exchanges
to stay in the material,
yeah, then it's touching down.
You can take it also that way.
Yeah.
Yes,
I have a question. That is, in this, the difference between say in Swargiya Rasa, that means people are getting their happiness from their relationships according to Vanashram system. So if people are following their relationships according to the Vanashram system, but still their focus of where they want to get their happiness from is the sense gratification gotten from performing their duty, then is that Pratyupya Rasa?
If they follow Vanashram, but their focus is to get happiness
still,
from Pratyuparasa, yeah, from the lowest.
Yeah, still the focus is the sense gratification, not the relationship.
Then it's mixed. Technically it's not, it's just...
Is it possible?
Well, I guess so. Might be. Just the follow the mechanics of Varnashrama.
Yes.
But the goal is actually low, on the lower platform. I guess it's possible. I can't think of example though.
When they wouldn't follow Varnashram. Why would they follow Varnashram?
Because they understand that to get the best material result in the material world, you have to follow God's rules. That's why they follow it. But they can be asuras. There is asuric Varnashram. Everybody follows Varnashram, almost. Asuras also follow.
If they know that that's the...
For sense gratification.
If they know that that's the best way to achieve something, then they would also know that relationships between people are more important than just objects, right?
Yeah, but they might not...
act upon that knowledge.
They may know it theoretically, but still, practically, they're egocentric, and they just want things, you know, stuff. They don't value necessarily so much relationships with people. And then, there's so many people like this. Even among devotees, it happens. It's sad, but true. Okay. Yes?
We say that if one makes something for Krishna without wanting any result for himself, this is pure. Okay? And if someone makes something for other people, then there is always selfish motive in that. Can it be also pure, like really without wanting, just because person, for example, doesn't know Krishna, yes, but he feels this this desire to do something for others without results, or there is always this false ego aspect?
It should be, I mean, necessarily should be some, it should be based on ignorance, ultimately, because if Krishna is not, if it's not connected to Krishna, it is by definition based on ignorance. Because it is based on ignorance. You ignore the most important person in the creation, which is God. Otherwise, the sentiment may be okay, but the result won't be spiritual because it is based on ignorance. Still, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada makes the point very clearly that if you don't know that the ultimate cause is Krishna, but you sacrifice for the cause that you think is the highest, then still, it is progressive. Prabhupada says, in due course of time, one will understand that Krishna is the ultimate goal and he will attain perfection. So it depends on the sincerity, the purity of desire.
But without knowing the name and the details and the whole picture of spiritual reality, even if it is honest, sincere, and
this
something higher, it's not,
yes. This is Bhagavad Gita 17th chapter. The association of the living entity with the different modes of nature has been going on perpetually. Since the living entity is in contact with material nature, he acquires different types of mentality according to his association with the material modes. But this nature can be changed if one associates with a bona fide spiritual master and abides by his rules and the scriptures. So here we have the situation that you're describing. Someone is, because what we are talking here is, someone is under the particular combination of the modes, and he thinks this is the best, because he is influenced by the modes. Gradually one can change his position from ignorance to goodness, or from passion to goodness. The conclusion is that blind faith in a particular mode of nature cannot help a person become elevated to the perfectional stage. If it's just a faith, doesn't matter how sincere it is, if it's blind, if it's based on ignorance, one has to consider things carefully with intelligence in the association of a bona fide spiritual master. Thus, one can change his position to a higher mode of nature. This is, clear. So how do we control our senses? If we talk so much about controlling the senses.
By engaging them in the service of the
Lord. Exactly. Otherwise, if they are not engaged in this way, they will inevitably find their way back to the sense objects. This is the interesting part of 11th canto of Bhagavatam. There is the famous story of the four Kumaras asking question to question Brahma, their father. The question was, we see that the sense objects are and the mind are connected very tightly. It's a very natural connection between them. They are just like, they are born for each other. The compatibility is like 100%. And they, it just without endeavor, they go. The mind is filled with, it's flooded with sense impressions. And how, for someone who wants to attain liberation, how it is possible to break that disconnection? And then Brahma, who is the most intelligent living entity, he could not discover the essential answer to this question. Then Hamsavatar had to appear. And he answered, yes, it is like this, it is true, but you are neither the senses nor the sense objects, nor you are the mind. And when the senses are connected to Krishna only, then they can be purified. So this is the answer. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Even one of the senses which is focused on the matter can actually spoil the whole thing. Even one of the senses. One of the six. The senses are compared to venomous snakes, but when they are engaged in devotional service, it's like breaking the without these fangs of poison. They cannot harm you, actually. And the example in Bhagavad Gita is the tortoise. How you say this?
Tortoise.
His famous verse, Yada Samhaya Teche Kurman Ganiva Sarvashka Indriya Indriya Artevyas Tasya Pragya Pratishtita. Just like the tortoise is extending her limbs only when he has to do something, and then when He doesn't do anything, he just withdraws them. In the same way, a devotee acts with his senses only when there is service to Krishna. Then, when it is done, he is not active in the material world. Just for his sense gratification. Alright, and now it seems we have to start finally with the verse. So the first thing Rupa Goswami says is what? Vachuvegam, the urge to speak. How do we control this urge? Prabhupada says that one cannot understand who is the fool unless he starts talking. So how do you control the urge to speak? By talking about Krishna. Otherwise, if we talk prajalpa, then it is it is compared to when the frog is making this noise. Yes, it comes from the mouth and then it goes here, and the ears are compared to a snake holes. So then the snakes, they hear this and they come out of the, and then they eat the frog. So they will eat us. The snake of time, the python of time. If we don't engage in Krishna Katha and we just talk nonsense. Did you read this purport? Yes?
That connection it is oftentimes seen among devotees as prajalpa when we are talking to people about their personal life, you know, and their problems and those kind of things. But I have heard descriptions of, I think it was Rupa Goswami, when he was visiting the different villages, then he was, you know, talking to them, asking them, you know, how is your daughter and how is the farming going on and all of that. So can you elaborate on that?
Srila Prabhupada also, he was asking people, how is your wife? He would say the name of the wife also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentions, if you just go and to the shop and ask for buy some medicine, let's say, this is not, it doesn't mean that you associate with non-devotees. Because this is one of the items, like mentioned by Rupa Goswami, Jana Sangha. One should reject the association of non-devotees. So all these normal, like ordinary dealings, they are okay as long as you don't try to exchange love with these non-devotees. The six kinds of loving exchanges should be only inside the family circle, the devotees. It can be used, what you say, can be used for just to make this connection with people. You show that you understand them. You know what is their situation. You can sympathize with their needs, interests, and concerns. And then they can be more open. They can open to you. This is what I noticed when some of the big preachers, they have to give a class, to give a talk to new people. What they will do in the beginning, they will just ask questions. So what do you think about? Basically, what is your philosophy? What do you think about this? What is the goal of life? What is happiness? And then they would listen for 10, 15 minutes. Everybody will say something. And then when they are done, then they are actually open to listen because they just spoke for 20 minutes. Now they can listen. So it all depends on the purity, on the sincerity, and what is the motivation? Do you want to help these people, to connect them with Krishna, or you just want to indulge in prajalpa with them? Yes,
Master. Well, revealing the mind in confidence is one of the six loving exchanges between devotees.
Yeah.
So it's an important aspect of spiritual life, and if it is for the purpose of advancing in spiritual life, then it's not prajalpa.
Sure.
If this person has an obstacle,
oh, yeah.
And they're discussing with somebody who can help them, it's not just going to reinforce their maya. then that's not
Yeah, that's why it's so important to be confidential. if you share with someone, and then the next day it's on the internet, this destroys the trust, and then you can say this part of the six types of loving exchanges, it is closed page for you anymore. You don't trust people, you don't trust devotees, so you cannot advance nice. It's so important. Yeah, no, it's not prachalpa, it's very important. If we don't reveal our doubts to a qualified people, persons, devotees, then it will be difficult to clear them up. Yes?
When it goes on, like this sharing, if even somebody shares something which is not directly connected to Krishna, like family problems or something, another person whom this person shares with can immediately connect with Krishna in any way. And then it immediately becomes Krishna. Yeah. And this is the problem. This sharing. To take out from this.
Is that answering your? Is that okay, Mataji? Yeah. No, but coming to the previous point you made. Okay, Vachu Vegam, then what is the next?
Manasa.
Control of the mind. So the impersonalist will say we should stop thinking. We should stop. It sounds really absurd. And they'll say we should altogether stop the process of thinking, but let's say you don't have to stop the process of thinking. You just try to not think about particular thing for 30 seconds. It's also very difficult. Even this, let's say you don't think about a blue bird for 30 seconds. What happens in these 30 seconds? You try not to think about what? About the
bird.
And then you think. So, so the devotees say, we think about Krishna by discussing Krishna, by remembering, by chanting the holy name. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayo, this famous verse from Bhagavatam. Fix the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna and naturally all other senses they will follow. So then the mind becomes a friend. This is very important in all yoga practices and in our practice also. To train the mind in such a way that he becomes our friend, because right now the mind is not friendly. What it means? What does it mean that he's not friendly? That means he is attached to mundane topics. And because of this, if we leave the body in such a condition, then the mind will carry the soul, will carry us to the particular mundane destination. Because he's attached to mundane things. So if we flood the mind with Krishna consciousness, then what happens is, I'm sure you have experience with this. The mind is such a creature that whatever you put inside, he will give back. He will give back this to you. If you give him Krishna consciousness, gradually he will start talking back to you, Krishna consciousness. Like if you are on Ratha Yatra or big kirtan, I'm sure it happened to you. After the Ratha Yatra, after a few hours of chanting, then when you go back to the temple and go to sleep, you hear Hare Krishna mantra all the time. That means the mind is repeating what he had heard during the day. That means the mind becomes a friend. Even if you're not Krishna conscious, if your mind is your friend, then he will make you Krishna conscious. He'll start repeating some favorite tune you have, some favorite bhajan. He'll start singing this to you inside, and then you remember Krishna. When the devotees are really advanced, then this is what happens. This is explained very scientifically in the Madhurya Kadambini. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this is the difference between the advanced and the neophyte devotees. The neophyte devotees Even if by chance they can, for small amount of time, fix their mind on Krishna, then inevitably it's like the compass, it goes back to Maya. And advanced devotees, it's just the other way around. Even if for few seconds or minutes they think about material thing, then the mind automatically comes back to Krishna conscious topics. So it takes time, but if we continue to purify the mind by getting him hear Krishna Katha, then at one point he will talk to us Krishna Katha all the time. Even if we are somewhere else, he will bring us back because he's a friend now. All right. I have to finish here. We're not advancing very much, but we have time.
Okay. We are much behind, and maybe we can use the time tomorrow because anyway, one of us is not here.
Yeah, tomorrow we are having class. About it is in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. After Priti, I think Priti Moshe will give class first, and then we'll have nectar instruction.
We could extend it and have some class
for tomorrow. But it is not because we still have a lot of weeks to go. We have a lot of time. I don't think. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.